Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to be tackling a challenge that I know a lot of you face.
Okay.
And that is streamlining your fashion photography post-production workflow, especially, you know, when you're dealing with tons and tons of images.
Right.
You want it to be efficient, but you don't want to lose that creativity, right?
Exactly. It's a real balancing act. Yeah.
So we dove into a guide. And it's got some really practical strategies for this.
Okay.
It even gets into how AI can play a role.
Mm.
And let me tell you, some of the stats on time saving were really eye-opening.
Oh, for sure. AI is really changing the game, this whole field.
Yeah.
But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's talk about the pressures of high-volume fashion post-production.
Right. Because it's not just about making photos look amazing.
Right.
It's like they said, finding that balance, doing it consistently across hundreds or even thousands of images.
It's true.
All while racing against these crazy deadlines.
Yes.
It can feel like you're on a photo shoot treadmill sometimes.
It is a unique challenge. You've got to think about it. You're working with a brand, and they have a specific look that needs to be reflected consistently across every image. So it's a whole other layer of complexity there.
And that's what I thought was so cool about this guide. It goes into how you can use different tools and strategies to build that consistency right into what you're doing every day from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And it starts with automation. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Automation. Won't that like stifle my creativity?
Right. And it's a common concern. But honestly, automation can actually give you more creative freedom.
Ooh.
Think about if you could offload those repetitive tasks, like that basic color correction or resizing, if you could give that to a system to do.
Right.
Then you have the energy to focus on the more creative stuff.
It's like having like an assistant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who handles all that grunt work so you can just swoop in at the end and add your magic touch.
Precisely. And there are some really amazing tools out there, especially AI tools. This guide mentions remove.bg, which uses AI to take out the backgrounds of images.
Okay, I've used that one. It's a lifesaver.
Right.
But this guide takes it even further, talking about AI for culling. Now, culling for me is usually the part I dread the most.
Oh, yeah.
Just scrolling through thousands of images, narrowing it down. But imagine AI that could analyze your past successful campaigns, looking at lighting, composition, even model expressions, and then use that data to choose the best images from your latest shoot.
That's what I call working smarter, not harder. And it's not just about saving time, but it's about that consistency.
Yeah.
Because if you're training this AI on your brand, then the initial selection of the images should already be aligning with that aesthetic.
It's like having this digital eye that's always looking for those on-brand shots. And speaking of consistency, the guide also really emphasizes having a clear workflow, which I think is something people kind of put off, especially when they're first starting out.
Yeah, a clear workflow is crucial, especially when you're in a high volume situation. You know, think about it like building a house. You're not going to start putting up walls if you don't have a good foundation.
Okay, that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
So how does the guide say we build that foundation?
It all comes down to organization. Having clear folders, making sure you're naming things consistently. You could even think about getting a DAM system.
A what?
A digital asset management system. It'll help wrangle all those photos and make it super easy to find what you need.
So no more endless scrolling, trying to find one specific shot. That's music to my ears.
Exactly. And then you've got to break your post-prod process into stages. Think of it like an assembly line.
Okay.
Each stage has a purpose, sorting, color correcting, retouching.
Makes sense. Breaking it down like that makes the whole thing feel less scary.
Totally. Plus, when you have a standardized system, it's way easier to keep things consistent, especially when you're working with a whole team.
Which brings up another big thing with high volume post-production, collaboration. When you've got multiple people giving feedback, things can get messy fast.
Oh, tell me about it. I've seen so many projects go sideways from miscommunication, feedback getting lost in a million emails. It's a nightmare.
Oh, the dreaded email chain of doom. This guide actually has some really solid tips for keeping everyone in the loop.
For sure. One of the best things is to just centralize all your communication and feedback. Use a platform like Frame.io or Asana.
So instead of emailing changes back and forth, you're all working together in this shared online space.
Exactly. You can share images, comment on specific spots, track different versions, even get approvals all in one place.
That sounds like a dream for anyone who's ever struggled with version control, am I right?
Yeah.
We're trying to decipher feedback scribbled on a printout.
It's a game changer for sure. But no matter what tools you're using, good communication really starts with having a solid brief.
that's where you set the tone for the whole editing process, right?
100%. It's got to be well-crafted, like a roadmap for your editors. Outline everything. The overall style, the mood, specific retouching requests, technical specs, and visuals. Don't forget visuals.
Because a picture's worth a thousand words, especially when you're trying to convey style.
Exactly. Include image examples that show the vibe you're going for, and point out any little details you want your editors to focus on. The more detail in the brief, the less back and forth you'll have, which means quicker turnarounds, fewer revisions.
Efficiency and clarity all in one. But even with a smooth workflow and super clear communication, there's one more thing: quality control.
Oh, yeah. Especially with a ton of images, little mistakes can slip through. Quality control shouldn't be an afterthought. It has to be baked into every step of the way.
So it's not just about catching errors at the end. It's about stopping them from happening.
Exactly. And this guide has some great tips on how to do that. First off, you have to set clear quality standards from the very beginning.
So everyone's on the same page about what quality actually means for this project.
Right. What can't be messed with? Like focus, exposure, color accuracy, how much retouching are you expecting? When you set these standards early on, you're less likely to run into surprises or inconsistencies later.
It's like having a checklist that everyone's looking at the whole time. But setting those standards is just step one, right? You've got to actually have a system to check the work.
Absolutely. And one of the best ways to do this is to build a specific quality control stage right into your workflow. And ideally, it should be someone who wasn't part of the initial editing, someone with fresh eyes.
Because when you've been staring at the same photos for hours, it's easy to miss tiny details.
Exactly. A fresh perspective can catch those. Having a dedicated quality control stage ensures that it actually gets the time and focus it needs, not just rush through at the end.
It's like having a proofreader for your photos, making sure everything is perfect before it's released. But quality control isn't just technical stuff, right? It's also about keeping that consistent style and feel across all the images.
You got it. And that's where the guide's suggestion to make a style library is clutch. It's like a mood board that captures the brand's whole aesthetic. Past campaigns, color palettes, typography, even those specific retouching techniques you always use.
It's like having a mood board right there that everyone can reference to make sure things are on point with the brand. Such a good idea.
Yeah.
But even with the best workflows and quality control, you gotta have the right team and tools, right?
You know it. This guide really stresses using professional editing software. Things like Adobe Photoshop, Lightroom, Capture One, those are key.
For sure. You need the right stuff. But it's not just about having the software. You got to know how to use it, right?
Right, 100%. The guide also talks about training and constantly improving your team's skills. The more comfortable they are with the software, the faster and better they'll work. And don't forget plugins.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those plugins can really speed things up. They can automate those boring, repetitive parts, which frees you up for the creative stuff.
Like having a secret weapon, right? Speaking of secret weapons, we've talked a lot about automation. But let's dig deeper into this whole AI thing in fashion post-production. The guide had a whole section on it.
And for good reason, it's really changing things up. But it's not about replacing human editors. It's more like giving them superpowers, you know?
Yeah.
Making them even more efficient. Like imagine AI for color correction and tone matching.
Okay, yeah.
Instead of adjusting every single image by hand, you could have AI analyze a batch and make sure they all have that same look and feel.
That would be amazing. Especially when you're working with photos from different shoots and different lighting and stuff.
Exactly. And then there's AI retouching, which can do things like skin smoothing and getting rid of blemishes really precisely.
Yeah, it's incredible how good AI is getting at that stuff. I was blown away by that stat in the guide, AI culling, potentially cutting down your workload by 80%. That's huge.
It really is. And even beyond those specific AI tools, the big takeaway is to think about your whole workflow and how you can weave in AI strategically. Work smarter, not harder, right?
Exactly. And use AI as your secret weapon. But it's not all about the fancy tech. This guide also had some really down-to-earth tips for efficient post-prod that anyone can use. One that I thought was cool was working in phases. What's that all about?
So instead of editing one image at a time from start to finish, you focus on one type of edit and do it across all the images before moving on to the next. Like you might do all your color correction first, then retouching, and then the final touches like sharpening. It's more efficient that way.
It's like that saying, batch, don't botch.
There you go. Another thing they talked about is creating your own presets for common edits. So if you're always making the same adjustments, save them as a preset and you can apply them with one click.
Ooh, that is a time saver.
Yeah.
I like it. The guide also had this case study about a fashion brand that actually cut their post-production time in half by using a lot of the things we've been talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. They really went all in. AI culling, batch editing, phased retouching, centralized feedback, the whole shebang.
It just goes to show it really is possible to be both fast and creative, even with a ton of photos to get through.
Absolutely. And that actually brings us to the biggest takeaway I hope you get from this. There's no one right answer for everyone. But once you get those fundamentals down, good organization, clear communication, smart use of technology, you can create a system that works perfectly for you.
So it's about figuring out what works for you and your team and not being afraid to try new things.
Yeah.
And maybe throw in some of that AI magic too.
Exactly. The possibilities are out there.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. We covered a ton, but hopefully you've got some ideas brewing, maybe some inspiration to streamline your own post-production process.
And remember, efficiency isn't just about speed. It's also about freeing yourself up to focus on what matters, creating incredible images.
Well said. Until next time, happy editing.